and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. Before we move on to anything else this week, Ben, can I just say that last week, as we inducted ourselves into the Dole Men's Club...
Oh, yes, with pride.
We struck a nerve with people.
Oh, did we? Oh, dear.
It's extraordinary. The things we talk about on this podcast that you think this will get people talking, this might get a reaction. I think lawnmowers seems to have got people talking.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why, but a couple of people mentioned to me about, I've got a certain type of lawnmower. You know, I talked about not having the box on mine.
Yes.
I've even had someone suggest, why don't you make one? It doesn't work like that on a Flymo. I don't know how many times I've got to tell people there's not a space for the box on a Flymo. Anyway, we're not getting into that entirely. But what I will say is we did get a message from an old friend of the podcast, an old mate John in Guildford.
Oh, hello, John. Yeah.
He sent us a message. He sent us a photograph, which I'm going to forward to you now. And this is obviously no good for anyone else, but this is for your eyes only, really, Ben. But he sent us a photograph of a lawnmower, but it's more the message he sent with the photograph.
Oh, I've got it, yeah.
Since we're entering mower chat, this is the mower my neighbour gave me free of charge. In addition to this, I would just like to add, Honda make the best mowers. Sorry, Ben, because last week you said, I can't remember what make you said was the best mower.
I believe I said Hater was the best, right. And he's saying Honda, so shots fired, John.
We should just describe this photograph. This is one of those, it's like a mini tractor.
He was given this for free.
I mean, it's incredible. This is one you sit on. It's like an orange mini tractor with a trailer that obviously picks up all the grass cuttings. I mean, that's a big old box, that is. I mean, you've got a trailer instead of just a box. You're mowing some big old areas. That's all I'm saying. I mean, the size of that lawnmower is about the size of my garden. If I had one of those, I might be able to move about a centimetre forward and reverse about a centimetre, and that would be the garden mowed. So I'd quite like one of those. But it's an incredible lawnmower, John, that's all I've got to say.
It's a stunning piece of work. I mean, I said hello, John, earlier on, but now I'd like to say, hello, John, got a new mower. Anyone who got that Alexis Sale reference, yeah. Well done.
I'd like to say, hello, Honda mower. It's a sexy bit of kit, let's put it that
think,
way.
I did assert that Hater make the better mower, but... I think I have to bow down to a man who owns this bit of kit. That is astonishing. It's like the Rolls Royce of mowers, this thing.
I know. So I don't know what we've started. This could morph into some sort of lawnmower podcast over the next few weeks.
The rest is mowers.
Yeah. Well, why not? They've got the rest is everything else. But I found out this week, it's my friend's friend. I've met him a couple of times. He was the security expert for the BBC. So he'd pop up on the news whenever there was an incident or an international war or something. He'd pop up and say, here's Gordon Carrera with the latest. And I found out he's now doing a podcast. He's left the BBC and he's doing a podcast called The Rest Is... I forget what it's called. The Rest Is Top Secret or The Rest Is Classic. The Rest Is Classified, I think it's called. It's like, why can't we... The Rest Is Lawnmowers. That's a good podcast.
Do you think
podcast.
we might need a rebrand? Because the Trev and Ben podcast isn't exactly selling very well. So what about The Rest Is Bollocks?
The thing is, though, I think The Rest Is... That format is owned, I think it's all owned by Gary Lineker's company.
Well, he's got enough money, hasn't he?
Well, why don't we write to Mr. Lineker and say, well, look, you know, why don't we start one called The Rest Is Bollocks? Put your money behind it, mate. Come on. Come on, Gary. Put your money where your mouth is.
Or we could subvert him. We could absolutely stitch him up because he might own The Rest Is ... But does he own Bollocks Is The Rest?
Oh, well, no, we could do that.
We could do that easy. He doesn't own Is The Rest as the last few words. He owns it as the first few words.
Typical you to look into the minutiae of a legal argument. It's so typical of you to do that. But we could like get celebrities on every week to tell us about their lawnmowers.
Alan Titchmarsh, Jeremy Clarkson, the end of podcast.
No,
done.
No,
two
no,
guests
you,
finished.
No, we'd get them all on. You'd get all those ones that do the rounds. You'd get Adam Buxton on. He'd probably got some good lawnmower stories. Richard Herring, he's bound to have some lawnmower tales.
Presumably we'd need to have someone who is in the gardening industry. And after Titchmarsh and Clarkson... I mean, who was that lady on Ground Force?
Charlie Dimmock.
Mm. She might have a story. It was the other fella. Tommy someone, wasn't there?
Oh, Tommy. I was going to say Tommy Robinson, but I think that would be more of a racism and gardening podcast, wouldn't it?
Steady. I don't know if that's libel or not.
Telling us about his lawnmower this week is Tommy Robinson joining us from prison. Hello, Tommy. How much
Tommy
mowing
Walsh?
Are you doing behind bars?
Is this going to get us cancelled? Can we? I mean, he is in prison, I'm all panicking now if we're going to get sued by... I mean, he can't have much money, can he, to sue us with?
Anyway, what's his name?
Tommy Walsh.
There you go.
Is that right?
Yeah. We get Handy Andy out of retirement. What's he doing these days?
Right, so I'm just totting these up. We've got five guests now. It's Clarkston, Titchmarsh, Dimmock, Walsh and... Handy Andy. I don't even know his real name.
Well, I mean, and Handy Andy isn't even a gardener. Like, he does DIY stuff. But I assume he'd have a decent mower.
He knows his way around a cam belt, I'm sure.
We
he knows
get,
a self-propelled mower when he sees
mower
one.
On, the actor. I mean, we might be scraping the barrel a little bit now.
Yeah, we'd have to get some tennis players on because of the lawn reference. Yeah, that'll work.
Well, we could certainly get groundsmen on.
Yeah?
We could get all the groundsmen. I mean, look at the jobs they do. Look at the state of the pitches now. They're wonderful. Oh, we could get them on to talk about the mowers they use. I mean, look, I don't know what legs this new podcast idea's got, but I think it's a good idea.
So you don't want to go with the rest is bollocks, a complete rebrand. You want to go with the rest is mowers.
The rest is mowers. Yeah.
Well, we'd have to have Johnny Guildford on.
Well, of course, he'd be a star guest to come and talk
about. He would be, guest of honour.
And his neighbour who gave him this free of charge, remember?
Yeah, who is this eccentric billionaire who could just give away this tractor?
And what has he bought to replace this one? That's the sort of thing we'd be talking about on the rest of his mowers. We'd have them both on, probably with Alan Titchmarsh. So Alan Titchmarsh can talk about the pros and cons of the mowers. But John can say, well, you gave me this one. This is a Honda, whatever it's called, Mower Sexy 175. Right? And this is John's neighbour who's just bought the latest Honda Mower Super Sexy.
I know. I mean, it does beg the question. If you're in a position to give that piece of kit away, have you reached the level where you're paying for gardeners or... have you got some super bit of kit?
But even if you're paying for gardeners, if you've got a lawn of a certain size, I mean, are they going to bring their own kit?
Yeah, we did when I worked for my dad with his lovely...
Oh, well, you obviously had the... what was it?
Mowers, less decent mowers.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I mean, probably why he didn't get much work in the end, but you turned out with this dodgy bit of kit, wrecking lawns all over his...
Charlatan.
Is that why you had to leave Croydon, actually? You weren't in East Grinstead then, were
you? Oh, I didn't leave. I fled.
Yeah, because there were people coming towards you with torches and pitchforks. You ruined my lawn with your Hyundai, whatever it was.
Hater for the fourth time.
I can't remember. It's such a terrible name.
We can't do the rest is mowers because you can't even remember the smallest detail.
Well, if we launched the podcast, I'd make an effort. You know, I'm not going to remember it now. I've got far too many important things to remember. I can't remember what model of lawnmower you had. The worrying thing is I can't remember it just about 40 seconds after you told me. That's the worrying point of life I've reached now, where it just goes in and doesn't settle.
Well, I think that's true of most podcasts. They just turn up, talk, and then forget it immediately after they finish the recording.
What's the best thing you've been given free of charge?
I've never been given anything free of charge that I can think of. Now, this is a terrible thing to say because there might be someone in my life who comes crawling out of the woodwork and says, how dare you, I gave you this lovely thing. But I remember Mrs. Ben. She, on her, I think for her 18th birthday, and I won't mention who they are, someone gave her a car.
Wow.
Which sounds like a lovely gesture.
Hmm. I mean, that's a birthday present. Does that count as a free of charge? I suppose it does. It's free.
Well, yes. There is a slight question mark over is it counting as free if it's a birthday present. There is also the other questions that she has no driver's license.
Right.
She hasn't passed a provisional. And this car was a death trap that they were basically trying to get rid of. I think even, and I mean this with all due respect, so if this comes across as... rude, I do apologise in advance. I think even the travelling communities had looked at this car and thought, nah, not worth taking that.
Well, they've got horses, mate. Shitty old car.
Even they didn't want it for the scrap. So they basically unburdened themselves of a car they couldn't sell for my wife's 18th birthday.
So what did you do with it? What did she do with it?
They eventually got someone to either steal it or bury it in a ditch. I don't know what happened to that car, but she never set foot in it because I wouldn't allow it.
Wow.
And it was a death trap.
Was this car used in some sort of criminal activity? It sounds all very dodgy to me that it was given for nothing.
Yes.
To someone who can't use it. So it's almost like this was a getaway vehicle put somewhere for hiding. We'll give it to someone who can never actually use it. It can be hidden in a garage or on a driveway. And then you tell me they arrange for someone to steal it. I mean, what sort of people were you hanging around with?
I might be slightly exaggerating that. I think it probably ended up in a breaker's yard and was absolutely pulled to bits. But it was worth absolutely nothing. Wow. It was palmed off as a lovely, generous gift. I mean, we've given you a car.
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
Oh, God, yeah.
But no, in reality, it was a death machine on wheels. And by the way, speaking of giving away cars, are you familiar with Oprah Winfrey?
Well, yes, she gave away all those cars. I'm sure we've talked about this before, haven't we? She gave away a lot of cars.
Yes, but did you realise, and apologies if we've talked about this, but did you realise the rub that came along with that
gift?
Yeah,
you have told us this before. We've had this, definitely, I've got deja vu here. I can't remember what it was, though.
It was the fact that, yes, they all get a car, but they had to pay the tax on it.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And many of the guests who received these cars couldn't afford it. So they either had to sell it or be walloped with a massive tax bill. It was a complete swizz.
Well, let's be careful about the word swizz. Talking about Oprah Winfrey. I'm more worried about her suing us than Tommy Robinson, if I'm honest.
All right, apologies in advance to Oprah Winfrey. The rest is apologies. What about that for
Could
a podcast?
Could we get her on for a mower?
The rest is libel.
No, let's get Oprah Winfrey on to talk about lawnmower. I bet she's got a fancy old lawnmower, isn't she, Oprah?
With all love in the world to Oprah Winfrey, I doubt very much she cuts her own lawn.
Well, there's an assumption that you're making without any evidence. She might be out there right now. As we're speaking, she might be out there on a Honda. Sexy.
Not a hater, a Honda.
Yeah, she's out there on it. She's having the time of her life. I've been given quite a few things free of charge. I think I collect it. I'm a bit of a magpie.
Breaking news. Yeah, I know.
But I also think people see me as sort of, it's someone they can give their stuff to get rid of. I mean, I'm the sort of person who would be given that car, but they wouldn't just give it to me. They'd ask me, do I want it? And I wouldn't be able to say no, and I'd be stuck with it. That's the sort of thing that was. But I've got some great stuff. I've been given a couple of televisions over the years. I'm using one right now, actually, because my other telly blew up. I'm using a television that was given to me free of charge. I've got a sofa I was given free of charge. I've been given lots of things, actually, over the years free of charge. I'm very fortunate that way, that people sort of see me I'm sort of the second-hand merchant. You know, like when you're a kid and you have the hand-me-downs, the clothes and things. I've never really shed that moniker of the hand-me-down kid.
Isn't it interesting how people change language to fit what they mean? You said I'm quite the second-hand merchant.
Mm.
You didn't use the phrase charity case.
Well, I mean, it could be seen as that, couldn't it? It could be seen as, there's old Trev, he's failed in everything he's ever tried. He earns fuck all out of a job that he now fucking hates. And he can't afford anything, so we'll just give him all of our stuff that we're going to otherwise dump. Yeah, it could be that.
Yes.
It could be the failure of my life shining out like a beacon of tragedy. Now, Ben, going from things given to you for free, what about things you've lost? What's the most valuable or most special thing you've lost or left behind somewhere?
I've never lost anything that valuable or special, but I do remember something I did lose, which was incredibly annoying. It was when we were working, because believe it or not, we used to be on the radio. When we did that, there was one day, because the place was falling to bits, I think for some reason or another, I needed to bring my own, from home, on a train, a microphone tripod.
Oh, well, stand, let's call it stand.
Yeah, probably stand's better, but...
Yeah, that's right, and I had to bring my own microphones in. I do remember that. Yes,
this was the tin pot radio station we were working for. And because we had to get up at god o'clock in the morning, I'm boarding a train at some stupid time. I'm half asleep by the time I get off. I left in the top rack of the train carriage this quite decent microphone. You don't want to use the word tripod for some reason.
Well, it's not known as a tripod, is it? Tripod is more for a camera.
Well, it was a three-legged stand. I believe there's a tripod, but if we're going to nitpick...
Well, I've never heard anyone in all my years of working in the area of sound, has anyone got a microphone tripod?
So I left that, and I even went to the train company and sort of said, is there any chance in lost property this has been collected? And I had to describe the item, and I thought...
Well, you probably called it a tripod. They were looking for tripod rather than a
That's
microphone.
Where I went wrong. Yeah. They probably had it in front of them, and they were this is a tripod. Anything.
It's sort of a long thing with three bits at the bottom. No, I mean, there is something like that, but it's not a tripod, mate. I've got one of those in.
So you're saying that National Rail did me over because I chose the wrong grammar?
No, I would imagine... I mean, it's weird that somebody would see that and think, well, I'll have it.
Well, someone did, because they didn't find it, or they just couldn't be bothered to look for it. So I lost a perfectly good microphone stand / tripod to National Rail. Yeah. That really annoyed me. But other than that, nothing like springs to mind. What about you?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really lost anything. I almost lost... Again, it was years ago, and I was tired one morning. I was going to do a radio show, and I was sitting at the station.
So there's a theme here, isn't there?
Yeah.
It wasn't tired radio and radio shows.
It wasn't the radio show we were doing together. It was years before that. And I was sitting at the station waiting for my train. Train came along, and I just got on the train. And luckily, somebody had seen that I'd left my bag on the seat on the platform. I just got on without the bag, and it had everything in it. It had all my CDs, in those days mini discs, because I was top of the technology tree in those days. And it had everything in, and I always thought if I'd not had that luck of somebody seeing it and running onto the train to give it to me, would I have ever seen that bag and all that stuff again? Probably not.
Oh, that's nice that someone bothered to return it.
Yeah, no, I was so grateful. It's weird how your mind just doesn't... I didn't even think about the bag. I just got up and got on the train. I was sort of half asleep. I was very lucky. But no, I've not really lost anything. A friend of mine thought he'd lost his wedding ring. Right, we'd all gone out one night, and he realised that his wedding ring wasn't on his finger. So he retraced all the steps we'd been through back to the pub we'd met in. No sign of it. Anyway, the wedding ring seemed to have vanished for good. And he bought a new wedding ring, I think. Got a new one made or bought a new one.
And I've got so many questions.
Well, then years later, he discovered it was caught at the bottom of the linen basket in his house. It'd been there years. Just,
wow.
He'd not had it on when he was out at all. But yeah, that was a scary moment, because to lose that would be not a good thing.
I do have to ask, and I don't want you to stitch your friend up, but I'm going to push. Why did he remove it in the first place? And secondly, when he bought the replacement ring, was this on the hush-hush? Did he tell Mrs.
Yes, because I got a feeling she was out with us on the night that he thought he'd lost it.
So it's not shady?
No, not at all. No, it was just one of those things. I think it had probably come off as what it's like, you take a t-shirt off or something and it gets caught up. Say it was in the bottom, but it was years until he discovered it. It's like, wow.
I mean, I have, and you've witnessed it, I have firsthand knowledge of almost losing a wedding ring instantly.
Yes, I mean, yours was on your wedding day, you almost lost it.
Yes, I almost flung it into the Gibraltar Sea.
Yeah, so luckily it didn't quite roll far enough, but it was close.
It bounced off Roy Walker, I think.
Yeah, he was there going, say what you see. It's a wedding ring heading to the sea.
Which sounds like a lie, but that I mean, if I ever go on... Would I lie to you?
Yeah.
That would be my story.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, it's the only one that would be of any sort of you know, for a huge sort of audience, yeah. The only one that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Roy Walker once blocked my wedding ring from hitting the sea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the reason I ask about you losing things is because I came across this week a list of items that have been left behind in Uber vehicles.
Okay.
Which I'm sure happens a lot, because often people get into an Uber, they've been out, they've had a few drinks, and you leave something out. I mean, I've lost things like umbrellas, I think, in cabs or on trains before, because you're pissed. I mean, that's why I don't carry umbrellas anymore. They're the most annoying. I'd rather get wet than have to think about an umbrella. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it must happen all the time. But these, some of the weirdest things, I suppose this isn't that weird, because it could be like a Stagnite or something, but Shrek ears.
Yeah, yeah. It does sound very Stagnite-y.
Yeah, and to be honest, they're not something you're going to want back either, are they? Like, if you've lost Shrek ears, you're not going to phone your Uber driver from the night before and go, those Uber ears, did you keep them?
it's no microphone tripod, is it? It's just Shrek
ears. It's not a microphone tripod. I do remember on my mate's, the same mate who thought he'd lost his wedding ring, but on his wedding day, I was best man. And when it came to the end of the evening, I was sort of in charge of gathering all the wedding gifts together. And we got a cab back to where we were staying. And I think we left one bottle of champagne in the cab. And we phoned the cabbie and he said, you did leave it. And I think he brought it back to us.
Oh, that's very nice. Did he charge you for the return journey?
No, I don't think he did. I don't remember him doing that. I think it was just a nice gesture.
What a lovely man.
Yeah. I want to just
remind you, you know, I'm not you know, firing any shots off here, but I just want to let you know that you were the best man at my wedding.
Mm.
And I don't think I burdened you with any extracurricular jobs.
No, you didn't, no.
I did ask you to fly to Gibraltar, but
that was one thing, wasn't it? I had to write a speech.
Yes, but I didn't make you, you know, take extra photos or gather up anything.
I did. You didn't ask me to, I don't think, but I think I took on the role of party DJ for the evening.
Yes, although I hate to do this, but I do think the one song Mrs. Ben asked you to provide, you failed.
What was the one song she asked me to provide?
Now, I'm embarrassed to say this, and I'm sure she'd be embarrassed for me to say this too, but she did say, oh, if Trev's doing the playlist, could he get Peter Andre Mysterious Girl?
Oh, you know, I think I refused. I think I refused.
Yes, you did. Yes.
Yeah.
So her big day ruined by you.
Well, there are standards. You know, I don't care if it's your big day, but
you know what? I actually respect you for that, so thank you.
Right. Here's another thing left in an Uber. 100 DVDs. How can you forget 100 DVDs?
Well, I can explain that because recently, we were clearing out the house, getting rid of some clutter.
Yeah.
And we bought a DVD sort of case to hold all the discs. And we've thrown away all the cases because they were just taking up too much space.
Right.
So with a single case, you could lose hundreds of discs quite easily. But if it was 100 DVDs in their cases, that seems difficult to do.
So you're right, maybe if it is one of those sort of cases where you lose all the boxes, you could lose 100 DVDs in one go. Hoverboard and a mini fridge.
A hoverboard?
Hoverboard.
So I'm assuming that's one of these two-wheeled things which isn't really hovering anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, well, unless it's something from Back to the Future. It's a proper hoverboard. I'm guessing it's one of those. And a mini fridge. I mean, it depends on, because you can get those really small fridges that only hold sort of one can of drink, can't you? The sort of USB mini fridges.
Yeah.
But then I always think of a mini fridge as the sort of thing you get in a hotel room. Your mini bar.
Yeah, I have a mini fridge and it can hold quite a decent amount. It's a nice little fridge, but I'm not questioning why it was left behind. I'm more interested in where had this person gone where they needed a mini fridge and a hoverboard? Well, what event was this?
Well, it may have been a wedding and those were wedding presents.
Yes, possibly, yeah.
A hoverboard and a mini fridge, decent presents.
They're very decent. Yeah, I think the items themselves in this case are more interesting than why they were left behind.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know why they were left behind. Because if you just bought those items, you wouldn't, you know, if you just bought something, you're hyper sensitive about where they are.
Yeah.
I did once lose when I was a kid. I do remember this because I think I got a bit of a telling off for it. I wanted a new camera case and I knew the one I wanted. So my mum took me to Argos in Croydon, bought it. And somewhere between Argos and the bus stop, I'd lost it.
How did you do that?
I have absolutely no idea. And I think I got a little bit of a telling off and we did go and buy another one. But yeah, we retraced the steps. You know, you do all that thing. Because who's going to pick that up and nick it? But someone obviously did.
Well, it's in Croydon, so there's a clue. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's the opportunistic nature of the theft that which annoys me. Like, who on earth bumped into your camera case and thought, I need that, or I want it? And the same thing with my, I'm still going to call it a tripod. The same thing. Who on that train saw that and thought, I need one of those? They don't need it. They're just trying to nick it and flog it.
There was a guy on the news recently, a musician, who'd had a very valuable and very old violin taken. He was in a pub and it was taken. I mean, A, if that ends up on the market for someone to buy, now that the news is out there, you're going to know straight away it's the stolen one. Mm. But what else are you going to do with it? I mean, I can understand, like, if you steal something that's gold, you could melt it down. You know, but like a something like that. I always wonder that, right, when people steal things like bits of art, you know, well-known pieces of art. It's like, unless that's going to spend its whole, the rest of its life in some sort of black market, you know, undercover dark world of art, people are going to get it back straight away. They're going to know you've nicked it.
Absolutely. And I really don't mean to make light of this at all because it isn't funny. But I think Kim Kardashian was robbed once of quite an expensive diamond ring, and there is absolutely no way on earth they could resell it because it was so identifiable as this massive diamond ring. And I think they had to, the thieves would have had to have sort of carved it up into smaller diamonds and resold it that way, which would have got a much less return, but I suppose it's money for nothing, isn't it?
It would make them enough, wouldn't it? You know, if you turn those into enough small diamonds, or even if you take whatever diamonds are set in the ring, take them out of the ring, I suppose there's no identifying them as from that ring.
No. No, it's a nightmare.
But, it seems like we found a good way of making money here, Ben. We steal diamond rings and remove the diamonds.
Yes.
Right, here's another one. I don't know. I mean, when it says this was left in an Uber, do Uber do more than just cars?
How do you mean?
Well, two mattresses.
You can pay more for bigger vehicles from Uber, so you can.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a people carrier from Uber for about six people, but are you going to get two mattresses in that?
I wouldn't have thought so.
And if you did get two mattresses in it, when you got out at your destination, you're not going to forget the two mattresses because you're going to be squeezed up against them for the whole journey.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds more like a removal company job than an Uber.
Yeah, but two mattresses. And they're not cheap
mattresses. They were left behind.
Left behind in an Uber.
I mean, that would actually be, thinking about it, that's genius because I have to now book an appointment for my skip, for my local tip, sorry, not skip. I have to book an appointment to go there. It would be far cheaper to book an Uber and load it up with shit and then just leave it and claim, oh, whoops, I forgot it.
Oh, I don't think you'd get a good rating from the driver once you've done that.
Well, you know, if you're going to make an omelette, you're going to break some eggs.
Because I'd imagine as the Uber driver, you'd be mightily pissed off. And you just take them back to the you'd have the details of the person that's booked it. I suppose you wouldn't necessarily have their address, would you? You'd have where you pick them up from.
Exactly. It's the beauty of the scam.
If you've got two mattresses, you'd probably want to take them. You don't want to be carrying them that far. So take them to sort of the end of your road and then call the Uber. But they'll have your address for banking details anyway. So they'll track it. It's not like it's not the crime of the century. I think they track you down pretty quickly.
Well, you know, I like to be Mr. Loophole. Mm. I feel like I've wasted my life by going into the profession I've gone into instead of being an argumentative defense attorney, which I think was my true calling in life. Mm. But if, as you say, the Uber company have my address, they have all my billing details, they have this, that, and the other. If I load up their car with two mattresses and then get out of the car, pretend I've forgotten, and then leave them with it, and now it's their problem. if they then return to my address and dump the mattresses outside of my house, who has littered? Who has fly-tipped? Me or them?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I think it's... I mean, it was yours in the first place.
I didn't put them there.
Yeah.
Ah! Oh, that's a I wish the law was that simple. That you could just go,
that's probably why you would never become a sort of prosecution barrister.
Yeah.
Because you'd go, ha-ha! There we are! Case over, my lad! You haven't actually said anything yet, Mr. Hart. I know.
I said ha-ha, didn't
all
I?
All I've got in my notes is ha-ha! Surely that's enough, sir. You'd be de-wigged so quickly. It's a very good, I mean, fly tipping around my area is an absolute nightmare. On every corner of every street, people just put, I mean, it's unbelievable the shit people put out. And the council put up little signs and this is not a fly tip, do not fly tip. It's like, well, that's not going to deter people. I did once see people fly tipping on the corner of my road and the next road one night. And I sort of did that quite audibly tutting thing. And then I did think, should I take a photograph of them doing it or a video? And I thought, I'm probably going to get stabbed.
So yeah, snitches get stitches, mate. Don't do that.
But I sort of think you've got to start getting these people because they just keep doing it. Sometimes you go up the end of the road and there is like a couple of mattresses or big fridge freezer just on the corner of the street. When are they doing it? Well, in the middle of the night, I suppose, they're coming around there. Just stop it, you fucking idiots.
I'm surprised Mr. Free of Charge hasn't scooped up a free fridge freezer.
I mean, sometimes it does work, not the fly tipping, but leaving stuff just in my front garden. I needed to get rid of a washing machine and it was going to either be £25 to get them to take it away when I ordered the new one, or I'd have to pay the council to come and get it. And I just thought, well, it's the sort of thing that people take, and I'll put it out in my front garden. 2 days it was gone.
Yeah, I had the same thing. Although the insult was that I had to help the people take it away. I think it was an old dishwasher.
Yeah.
And I left it outside the house. Within 10 minutes, someone was there wanting to take it. But their solution... And I live in a cul-de-sac at the end of it, so there's a big pathway leading to my house. Their solution was just to simply drag it along the pavement, causing this almighty scratch across the brickwork.
Yeah.
So not only had it been out there 10 minutes and they were already lifting it without asking, let's just drop that in, but then I had to rush out and go, no, the brickwork, I'll help you carry it.
Yeah, I don't think that's really the way to do it. Here's a couple of other things. Divorce papers. I mean, they're quite important, aren't they? It depends on whether if they're just your copy. I mean, if you've signed the official ones, given them in, and this is just your copy, you might think, fuck it, I don't want them. Just leave them in a cab.
Well, there's the sort of also heartbreaking part of that where you might not be wanting to sign those divorce papers.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You might want to leave them behind, metaphorically and literally.
A witch's broom? How do you know it's a witch's broom and not just a broom?
I'm so glad this podcast is becoming automated because you just asked and answered my question immediately.
It may look like a witch's broom is a certain type of broom, you know, but how do you know it's a witch? Unless you had the witch in the cab. I suppose if you had the witch in the cab, you'd know it was the witch's broom.
Yes.
But you've either had to have had a conversation with them about them being a witch, or they're dressed as a proper witch with the hat and everything. But you probably have to take the hat off when you get in there. But that might start the conversation, wouldn't it?
You know, have I told you before that I have experience of at least two or three witches in my local area?
Well, it's East Grinstead, mate. I'm not surprised you've got witches in East
No,
Grinstead.
I'm not surprised either. But I am surprised as to how public they make it. I mean, one of them literally has some sort of star shape thing, like written on their front door in like Sharpie. It looks terrible, but they're keen for everyone to know they're a witch.
Yeah.
And it's fine. You know, please yourself.
Well, sometimes they're a good witch, a white witch.
I don't want to bring race into it, Trev. I mean, there's no need for that. I think they're all quite harmless white witches, but...
I mean, it's all bullshit, obviously.
Of course it is, but...
I mean, but, you know, fair play to anyone who believes in it.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about maybe asking them to maybe try it? Because I've often thought, would you... It's a bit like any of those things that are bullshit. Like, yeah, I've talked about this before on the podcast, but I've seen a couple of mediums in the past, and I wasn't quite as certain as I am now that it was all bullshit then. But whilst I was there, the realisation that it was all bullshit became clearer to me. But I sort of wanted to try it out. And you sort of think, would that be the same with a witch? Like, if I knew there was a witch at a house, would I just one day say, could you maybe do a good spell for me? You know, my life's sort of, it's not going in the direction I'd like it to go. Maybe. And just see. You know, you know that nothing's going to happen. But then what if it did happen? You suddenly thought, oh, there is something of this witchcraft thing.
It did cross my mind once. And it was a few years ago. I'm all better now. It's fine. But when I had a terrible, terrible bout of alopecia where I lost basically 90% of my body hair, I did consider knocking on the door and just saying, listen.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. You can't start off a conversation with a white witch as by saying, I know this is bollocks, but...
Well, so no, you wouldn't say that, would you? You wouldn't go in... start with that. You'd say, oh, I see you're a witch.
But it did cross my mind to say, have you got anything for me? Could you do anything? Could you rub a frog on me or do something that might help?
Someone I used to work with, bear in mind I used to work in sort of religious places, right? And someone once gave me, I think it was salt, and said, oh, you know, you should put this out and it will stop demons coming to your house. I thought,
no, it'll stop slugs, not demons.
I live in Croydon. I mean, I'm not going to deter all demons from coming to my doorstep. But, you know, I couldn't say at the time, oh, because she was lovely. She was a lovely lady. And I thought the world of her. But I did think, well, thanks, but, you know, bollocks, isn't it?
I know. That's the difficult thing, isn't it? When someone is being very sweet and very well-intentioned, but you know they're havering nonsense.
I did once meet a former Grand Wizard.
Hang on a minute. Isn't that clan related?
No, this was... He was... he'd become a pastor of a church, right?
Am I getting confused? Or am I thinking of a Grand Master?
Well, there probably is Grand Wizards in the KKK, isn't there?
I'd be very careful about saying you're associating with Grand Wizards.
Well, no, that's what... But he was from Nigeria. And he told us that before he became a pastor, he was a Grand Wizard and he would go around making spells and curses on people.
Right.
So, you know, I got on his good side, obviously, because I thought when he's obviously, even though he's now a pastor, he's obviously still got those abilities. He could probably still curse me if he wanted to.
He may have. Was this before you met me?
Oh, years before. Years before.
Yeah, I think the curse might have worked, I'm sorry to say. Because you've been lumbered with me ever since.
I often think about, you know, like the voodoo doll, you know.
Yes.
And I've often thought, if that really was a thing, there's a couple of people that I'd like to have a voodoo doll of.
Oh, really? I think if you was quite a forgiving, nice person, not a vengeful soul.
No, there's a couple of people. Couple of people in my life, you think, just a few pins, just every now and again, just a few pins here and there, not regularly. It's almost so that they'll just think, oh, it's a little twinge of pain, and then they forget about it. You know, it wouldn't be anything drastic, but just every couple of months, the old pin going.
You surprise me, because I often think of you as the sweetest, nicest, most forgiving person ever. I think of the double acts, I think I'm the vengeful arsehole.
Oh, no, most people I can be forgiving of, but there's just a couple of people, and I won't go into details, there's just a couple of people in my life that I've not been able to forgive.
I'm very much on board with that. I mean, I don't have a couple, I've got a list. It wouldn't just be pins.
Right, here's one more. A mannequin with human hair.
That's a strange detail.
Yes. Again, how do you know it's human hair?
Yeah.
If you were to give me a mannequin with artificial hair and one with real hair, would I know the difference? I'm not sure that I would.
See, I would assume horse hair was used a lot.
Horse hair?
Yeah.
Do you think?
I think it's more likely than human hair on a mannequin.
Oh, yes, probably. But I'd imagine they use synthetic materials now.
I think we're overlooking the fact that a mannequin has been left behind. We're focusing on the hair.
Big.
Yes, they're human. Well, they're human-sized.
Yes, but I mean, humans come in all different shapes and sizes, doesn't it? I mean, if it was a child one, you might be forgiven for forgetting that.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. You're right. Now who has become Professor Loophole? Ha-ha! Trev, I don't know if you remember, but many, many podcasts ago, you asked me a question which was to determine how decent of a person I am.
I don't remember this. Did I have to, what was it, a survey or something?
No, it was no survey. It was one single question.
Okay, I don't remember this.
The question was, are you the type of person who will return your trolley to the trolley area after you visited the supermarket?
Oh, right. Did I ask you that? Wow.
You did.
I have no recollection of that at all.
You absolutely did. And your definition was, if you don't return your trolley, you're an arsehole.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair enough, isn't it? It's right. You always return your trolley.
However, I do always return my trolley. I think I admitted that maybe 1 in 1,000 times I have been in a bit of a strop for some reason and have not returned my trolley. Mm. But 99.9% of the time, I always will. However, there is something else that I wanted to run by you, which I deliberately flout.
Right.
And it doesn't paint me in glory. Okay. And it's more of a confession, this story. The parent and child bays.
Oh, no. You're not parking in a parent and child bay.
Deliberately.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing.
Deliberately and constantly. It's discrimination. It is not my fault that you chose to have a child. You do not deserve better parking spaces than I do because you reproduced. That is discrimination at its height.
I mean, this is obviously someone who hasn't got children. And I think if you do go on to have little Bens and Mrs. Bens, your opinion of this will change incredibly quickly. And I'm sort of looking forward to that day when we can have this conversation where somebody who hasn't got children has parked in the children and toddler car parking space, and you come on the podcast and have a rant about it. But okay, for now, you haven't got children, and so therefore you're entitled to use it anyway.
They are closer to the shop.
Yeah.
They are wider, so you can open the doors fully without worrying about clattering into someone else's car.
Yes, yeah.
They're all these advantages based on the fact that you decided to reproduce.
Hmm.
I flout this at every turn.
Outrageous.
Not outrageous. No, and I know I'm wrong because I saw years ago Channel 5 made a documentary about someone who would park in these bays.
Yeah.
And painted him as a massive arsehole.
Yeah, well, quite right too, yeah.
No, listen, the only bays I respect are the disabled bays.
Oh, I'm surprised you don't just park in those.
No, I respect the disabled bays. They're for a very good reason. Mm. The fact that you bothered to fornicate and reproduce is none of my business, and it does not entitle you to a better parking spot than mine. Well, I will die by this.
Well, as I say, Ben, I think if you do go on to have children, your mind will be changed incredibly quickly. Because think of the logistics of having young children and getting them in and out of cars with push chairs or whatever. You know, it's a nightmare. You've got to then get to, you know, but bearing in mind also car parks, if you can't park near the front of the shop, you've then got to walk across the car park. If you've got young children, that's dangerous. It makes perfect sense, but I don't have a problem with it at all.
What do you mean, if you've got to walk across a car park with children, it's dangerous? Look after them. You chose to have them. Look after them. Hold their hands. Whoa. Don't walk them into traffic. It's fucking easy.
Oh, this is the inner fascist coming out again. I mean, it's so
I'm not
easy.
A fascist. I wish you'd stop calling me a fascist.
The inner fascist of Ben coming out again. This is, you've chosen to have children.
Yes.
Deal with the consequences.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. Why does that entitle you to a prime parking slot that I can't have?
Well, I think I've explained why. It's all perfectly reasonable because of the extra problems involved in getting children in and out of supermarkets. It's not
which is a problem of your own creation.
But yes, well, so what are we saying, that you can't? You want to stop people procreating? Is that what we're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that those who choose to procreate don't deserve a prioritised parking space than I get.
Well. I can't believe you're saying this. It's
what are you talking about?
So this is like a Nazi operation.
It's not right. I mean, you called me a fascist and a Nazi. I'm doing is parking a car. I don't deserve this treatment.
And what the one thing I will say in your defence is, I think all car parking spaces should be wider. You know, the number of times people have clanked into my car door. And I mean, that is the other thing. You know, if you have got to get children in out of cars and you might have car seats and all sorts going on, it's very difficult if you can't open a door fully to get that all sorted out. It's very difficult. So I think all car parking bays should be wider and just have less available.
Well, I mean, that would cause a bottleneck, but yes, I understand your point. In an ideal world, that would be a nice solution. But I refuse to be punished for not yet having kids.
Right. So the fact that you might have to walk an extra couple of yards is a punishment. You're seeing that as a punishment.
It absolutely is. It's discrimination.
It's not discrimination at all.
It is.
It's not discrimination at all. It's a perfectly practical solution.
All right. Well, let me riddle you this. Mm. What if they said this bay is for white people parking and it's closer to the shop, wider bays?
Well, we stopped that sort of thing. Yeah,
years ago, didn't I? Yeah, no, and for very good reason, because it's discrimination, it's racist, it's horrible.
Yes.
So why is this, for those who have bothered to procreate and multiply, you get priority parking. Fuck that, discrimination.
This is the sort of reason you're probably never going to get into politics, because the idea that you're going to make life even more difficult for parents...
So my legal career as a lawyer has failed. My political career has failed.
I'd like to maybe speak to Ma and Pa Harmer and talk to them about the days when you were little and probably the nightmarish child you were, probably already complaining about parking spaces in the car park.
Ma and Pa Harmer are lovely, sweethearted people who would never do the sort of behaviour that I would do.
No.
But they had to deal with the little tyrant that I have become.
Were you a tyrant as a kid? Were you like a little Hitler? Were you like a... You know, some children are always a bit tyrannical.
I wasn't a little Hitler in his... I wasn't, like, as fascistic as you suggest I am. Mm. But my mum did need to be fairly blunt with me at times.
Right.
She would catch me hanging out of an upstairs window, as I would do. And she would say, go inside, Ben. Back inside, please, now. Yeah. And I would say, well, why?
Yeah,
why?
You try and find a loophole even then. You try to find a loophole in the mum and dad laws.
And then she would eventually get to the end of her tether and she would say, well, because you'll fall out the window, you'll smash your head on the concrete and die, and mummy will be sad. And at that point, I said, okay, sorry, mum. I'll go back inside now. But it needed to be spelled out to me quite brutally before I started listening.
So let me try that. Let me try that technique on you now.
Little insight into my upbringing there.
Because if you take the parking space of a parent and toddler in a supermarket, and a parent and toddler then have to park away from the car park, and there's an accident in the car park, and a child is injured or maybe even killed by the result of someone else's terrible driving in a car park, that would be your fault, Ben. And everyone would be very sad, and you would have to face the consequences and live with that for the rest of your life.
So you're skipping over the big anomaly you mentioned there with the terrible driving of the person who knocked over the kid. I didn't. I just parked in his space. Someone else knocked over the kid.
Well, yes, but you prevented the parent and toddler from parking in that space, so you are partly to blame, my friend.
And can you assure me with your full chest that my parking in that space would prevent the child being hit by the reckless driver?
Absolutely. I can absolutely guarantee it. I don't know how you sleep at night.
Hearsay, Your Honour. Rubbish.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations. Got anything for us this week, Ben?
I don't, but Mrs. Ben does.
Oh, okay.
I've not seen it, but she speaks very highly of it. So here we go. It's on Channel 4, and it's on catch-up, and it's called Candy, A Death in Texas. So it's some sort of true crime thing, and it comes highly recommended by Mrs. Ben. I've not seen it, so there we go.
Well, I mean, a lot of these true crime things are very good, though, aren't they? As you know, I watch a lot of them. What I like about them is they're all very stylized now. They always have a drone shot of countryside. That's yes. always how they set them up to start with. It's like either over some trees or some fields. So you always know that that's where the body's going to be.
I've not seen it, but I can vouch that Mrs. Ben has a very macabre interest in true crime and death like I do, so I can back her up blindly that this will be a good thing to watch.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to recommend... you mentioned this a few weeks ago, blindly, because it hadn't been released then, but the new series of Black Mirror has been released on Netflix this week. I've only watched the first one. And it is very, very, very good.
Oh, really? That's good, because I'm looking forward to starting that myself.
The first one's got Chris O'Dowd in, and I think her name is Rashida Jones, the daughter of Quincy Jones. She was in The American Office, and yep. I think Parks and Recreation, which I never really watched, but I think she was in that. And I won't give too much away, but it's a brilliant look at how, let's say, subscription charges always go up, and how advertising is used in technology.
Okay.
I won't say any more than that, but it's a really good episode. So I've only watched the first one. I did get a text from a friend of mine the other day. He said, I've just got to episode 4, Trev. Have you seen it? And obviously I haven't. He said, you are going to absolutely love this episode. So I don't know what episode 4 is about, but I'm really looking forward to that.
Now that you've put that out publicly, are you quite worried? Because if it turns out it's dreadful, or there's some terrible context, or this is what your friend thought you'd enjoy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be about, I don't know, car parking spaces or something.
I'm not a fascist.
You're making it really bad. it's like using some sort of app to deter children from parking safely with their parents. but anyway, no, I'm really looking forward to it. Black Mirror, I think Black Mirror in general is very good. There's always some episodes I don't think are as strong, but that's just my humble opinion. It's not a view on the writing or the production or the acting. It's just a personal opinion. But on the whole, they're always very good.
I would agree. I think when it went slightly Americanized, I didn't enjoy them as much, but on the whole, Charlie Brooker is an absolute genius and is a fantastic show.
The other thing I'm going to recommend is on the BBC iPlayer. It's a new comedy called Austin. It's actually an Australian comedy, but it stars Ben Miller and Sally Phillips.
Very good.
And it's the story of... Basically, Ben Miller plays this author who's just been cancelled for retweeting a racist. and then they're in Australia, so everything's going a bit tits up. And then he discovers that he's got this son called Austin, who's now 28 years old. And it's sort of, I'm halfway through the series. It's about them building a relationship. Austin is autistic, and it's sort of him getting used to that. But it's very funny. There's some very funny moments in it. Particularly, I think it's episode 1, where they end up in a Nazi bookshop. Your kind of placement. They end up
steady.
It's very funny. There's 8 episodes. I think it's so far, halfway through, I'm really enjoying it.
Lovely.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. Send us pictures of Moas. You know, we want to build our collection of Moa pictures when we launch the new podcast.
Yeah, and park where you want.
Park where you want. Park with total impunity. So get in touch with us. We're at Trev and Bill on X and on Blue Sky, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.